Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did the previous tenants leave behind more than a basement full of their stuff? Did they leave something much darker?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you have a real ghost story, you can share it with us. Call it in at 855-853-4802. You could also write in, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. If you'd like to be a premium subscriber, you get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, and you can do that super easy. Sign up through Apple Podcasts where you can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon's here today. How's it going?
It's going well. You know, I was just thinking about what you said about the basement full of stuff.
Yeah.
And it reminded me that we have been going through massive amounts of stuff, moving our mom into assisted living, which is a really good thing for her. I think she's more comfortable. It's worked out really well. Yeah. And so, you know, but people are very attached to stuff. As we would go through mom's stuff, it would be odd the things she'd be wanting to take or like, let me see that thing or, well, I don't know about this. And it would be some just random little thing like a travel size bottle of shampoo, half shampoo, and she'd want to keep it or something, you know. It just odd stuff. People just become very attached to things.
It's weird to go through someone else's things, and you kind of can see their neuroses, and you can see their OCD behavior. But Harper and I were talking about this on another episode because I asked her what she would do. But our mother has this cedar chest that's coming to my house, and y'all know how I feel about dolls. And this one has, would you say, 5 dolls in it?
I think 5 is correct. Yeah.
And I'm a little freaked out about bringing them into my house. But then I keep telling myself, you know, they've lived with mom forever. But then it hit me. I'm like, you know, it's not like mom's house was haunted. And I'm like, well, that cedar chest was in the haunted house that we were in.
It was. It absolutely was. And I mean, if you really are feeling horrible about these dolls, I can load them up and bring them over here too. But there is something about stuff and people being attached to stuff.
Yeah.
And I can't quite explain it because I don't feel maybe quite as attached to things as I think other people do. But our mom was one of those people that very much is, you know, hoards things and is attached to things. So my point in all this is I can see how when somebody passes on that they might be still amongst the stuff.
When I don't know that they passed on though.
Oh, okay. And just in general.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like you can see how someone,
the haunted object, the mirror that belonged to somebody.
Right. They might stay with their possessions.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting too, because it's like as you look through someone else's things, it's very telling, obviously, what people collect or what they have or how they store their things. You know, it was hard to go through mom's stuff because there was a lot of it. But there was also, it's just interesting because she likes stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, where you and I can be like, I don't need any of that. So it is interesting to go through other people's things. And you're right. Like, I can totally see why something could be haunted, why there could be a haunted object.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting with the dolls because mom was kind of like, yeah, that one was mine. And then she didn't really seem to know a lot about the rest of them. And I'm like, you've had these in this cedar chest for 60 years, probably. I don't know how the cedar chest is probably 60 plus years old. And she's got a pretty good memory.
And they had to have belonged to someone that she knew, or for some reason she kept them. They're old dolls. They're very old. And then there was this one strange, like, kind of a hand-sewn, like, deerskin kind of maybe doll of some sort that was maybe kind of a fur trader looking doll or something.
And it looked like a little voodoo doll because it was only maybe 6 inches, 8 inches.
Yeah. And we both went, where did this come from? And so we took it in there and she's like looking at us like, I got no idea. And
I know.
I honestly think it was a doll that belonged to some great, great grandmother or something, you know, like that. But she couldn't remember.
We
so.
Threw it away.
You know, it's sad. Like you have these things, but then she doesn't even remember now why she
And
has
I
them.
Felt a little bad about throwing it away. But that doll, both of us saw it and both of us physically reacted to it.
Yeah, we were like, oh, no.
Whoa, what is that?
It did look like a voodoo doll.
It really did. So that one, I was like, no, that's not going in anybody's house.
Nope.
Nobody's keeping that. Not trying to sell that to some weird doll collector online. That's just creepy.
No, but you can, but my point is you can see how, you know, how absolutely attached mom is with these things of hers. And so I see it, you know, that people could just remain attached to material things.
Well, and everybody's got that grandparent or parent that does the same thing, you know. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
So the good thing is with those dolls, down the road someday when mom is no longer with us, she's not going to be haunting those dolls because she doesn't know really what.
Because I'm going to sell them on eBay before that happens.
Yeah, we're going to get to work on that.
Yeah. So tell me about this basement.
Here it is. It says, good morning. My story dates back to over the last 6 years, not long after I had started dating my wife. We started dating in 2017 after meeting on Tinder when I was at a fair out of town. And for 3 months, we would drive back and forth from Montreal to Granby, which is about an hour to an hour and a half drive. But 2 to 3 months in, it was getting to be a lot of driving. So together, we moved into my parents' basement in a joint decision that things had gotten serious enough to live together and eliminate all the driving back and forth. We were living downstairs peacefully, but after about a month, my girlfriend had started feeling uneasy, like she was being watched. I'd get the feeling I wasn't alone, but brushed it off to an overactive imagination. It was a recently developed home, built in the early 2000s, so we didn't think much of it. No history or anything nefarious happening there. A few more weeks went by and it had slowly begun escalating. I began getting extreme sleep paralysis, where I'd wake up in a sweat, unable to breathe, with vivid images of what looked like an imp sitting on my chest laughing, pure black with its face hidden. Around the same time this was happening, my girlfriend was waking up with a feeling of having been choked in her sleep. She would wake up with marks around her neck and unknown bruises, noticeable to the point that her coworkers thought I might have been abusing her. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
All of it. It's frightening and it's horrible because it's like doing it to make it look like it's you. We had spoken to my parents about what was going on, and they had the house cleansed and blessed not long after we moved into an apartment, and it was quiet for the next few years. We had the apartment blessed and cleansed before moving in, and the only noise we had to disturb us was the couple always fighting next door and the prostitute living upstairs.
Oh, that's quite a place.
So delightful. But you know what? It makes me think that it might have been a good-priced apartment.
Yeah.
Prostitutes and abusive neighbors. Being a young couple, saving everything we could, after 2 years, we were able to get ourselves a small house out in the country an hour outside of the city, a town of about 2,000 people. The house was from the 1950s, and it was exciting for us to get a first home, even if it needed some renovations. Like with the apartment in my parents' home, we had our first house cleansed and blessed, but the house had a presence to it, like you were always being watched or never alone. Okay, I'm going to read this sentence as it is because I'm sure this is a typo, but I'm not totally sure. So let's decipher this together. Okay. There is a cast iron showed in the basement, cemented to the floor with a wooden pallet and a dog leash tied in the shower. I'm not sure what that sentence is, but it sounds super creepy.
How did they spell showed?
like showed, S-H-O-W-E-D. Mm-hmm. So there's a cast iron showed in the basement, because this could have been a voice-to-text thing.
Okay.
Cemented to the floor. So maybe there's this cast, I don't know, with a wooden pallet.
Should it be stove? Cast iron stove?
Oh, maybe that's it. Let's read it like that. There is a cast iron stove in the basement cemented to the floor with a wood pallet and a dog leash tied in the shower. So I don't know where the shower comes in. But anyway, that combination of things, the dog leash tied in, I don't know what that is, but it creeped them out. As
well,
we never
I'm mad
saw,
about that. If somebody was keeping a dog tied up or a person or whatever.
Says it always creeped us out as we never saw any animals in the house. Everything else I wrote off as being an old home. We'd feel better once we could modernize it. But it was a feeling my girlfriend could never get over. Since moving day, it was a troubled home. Now, this is really weird. When we showed up on moving day, we had trouble moving in. Something came over the renters that week, and they weren't willing to move out. The house was boarded up with 2x4s across the windows, and the man was just sitting in the basement, shirtless, with a hammer in hand, unresponsive and unwilling to leave. There was no prior issue with them having to be out that day, but we had to get police involved and forcefully remove the renters.
That's a lot
to unpack, because it almost makes you think that this guy sitting there with a hammer is the one that put the 2x4s across the windows. Because if they're not moving out, they're not going to come in and just pound 2x4s over the windows. It's almost like the guy, like mental illness or possession or something. But he is sitting in the basement shirtless with a hammer in hand.
Oh,
I don't know. And it goes on to say, we can't say for certain it was something possessing the man. It very well could have been drugs or a mental breakdown. But the way they damaged the house before leaving felt ominous.
Mm.
2-inch deep burn marks in the floors, scratch marks across the floors covering the entire house, walls punched in everywhere. We decided to have a month to strip down the house to its interior framing and redo the interior before moving in the house. We did so and moved in a month later. Cha-ching! That was something they weren't planning on doing.
Wow, and that's a lot of work. Like, they did a lot of work in a month.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
As soon as we moved in, my wife started feeling a presence again, like she was being watched. Even our three dogs started acting weird. From when we moved in, our dogs were watching the corners of the ceilings in every room we went into, following something that didn't seem to be there. For dogs that only bark when someone comes onto our property, to randomly be growling at the corners of the room in the dead of the night sent a chill down our spines. What am I to?
Mm-hmm.
When we moved in, the laundry room to our house was in the basement, a basement filled with all the possessions of the renters who didn't want to leave but never came back after we moved in. So that's even creepier. So not only did the damage upstairs, they left all their crap in the basement, never came back to get it.
Mm.
Since moving in, my wife refused to go downstairs. She's always been more spiritually in tune than myself, seeing shadows and figures in the night. She told me that there was a woman in white downstairs who would approach her. Even if she went downstairs, it would just growl and almost a whisper at her, and she would tell it to stop and leave, that it was scaring her, and it would just stop in place and stare. After a few months of renovating, I was able to move our laundry room upstairs, and with it, the woman in white started wandering the halls upstairs.
Oh, no.
What is it with the woman in the laundry room? Like, I've got to go with it. Oh, my God, this house is horrible. But, you know, the day you move in, you've got this guy who won't move out and's put 2x4s over the windows, sitting shirtless in the basement with a hammer. It's like...
And there's a dog collar leash thing in the shower.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, but if... And I think they purchased it because they talk like saving up for a couple years. So it's not like you can go, change my mind. Once you've signed the papers.
I wonder if he had seen the woman in white at this point.
It says, while I never could see her, I could hear her making noise in the night, or my dogs would let me know she was there. Being fed up with her scaring us at night, we had an exorcist come to cleanse and bless the house. He told us the woman in white was something demonic masquerading as a woman. And from then on, we had peace for the next year. A year later, we had a minor flood in our basement, destroying all the possessions left by the old renters. I'm surprised, but they probably had enough to do in that year. They're like, we got to get rid of all that crap in the basement, but we're tired.
Yeah.
A foot of water got in when our drain backed up, and they left so many possessions it took a dumpster container you put in the back of a truck filled to the top to get rid of everything. It was after cleansing the basement, things started happening in the house again. The same week, we started hearing noises again, things being moved around. We knew for sure that something was back when one afternoon we had three loud knocks at our door, but nobody was there. I know kids like to do ring and runs for fun, but it's a month of December when this happened, so you can't get to our door without walking down a 60-foot driveway, being the only way to leave a footprint in the snow. The rest of our yard is closed off with large cedar bushes all the way around, and with three dogs who bark if anyone comes onto our property, you wouldn't get to the door without us knowing. We were also in the bedroom when this happened, which is the first door on the right when you come in. It frightened us that in the 2 seconds from the knocking, there was nobody there. The next morning, my wife had gotten up for work around 6 a.m., getting ready to leave, when she heard a loud woo-hoo. So I don't know, it was woo-hoo, woo-hoo.
Or I'm going to go with the first one.
Or could it be
woo-hoo?
No.
Okay. Probably not.
I think it's like woohoo, you know, like somebody
like a lady,
you know.
Woohoo, yeah. Like, hey, I'm here, coming from the kitchen. Just a woohoo, here I am. I came home from work that afternoon and it felt uneasy in the house. I felt watched again, and my largest dog, Milo, a big black lab, refused to enter the kitchen. See, gotta watch the dogs. He stood at the end of the kitchen while I was washing dishes, hair on his back raised, and he started growling at the knife block on the counter behind me. I turned, and nothing was there except one knife sticking half out of the knife block, and it promptly fell back into place, sending a chill down my spine, sending me into shock, wondering what would have happened if my dog didn't have me turn around. Woo, that's creepy.
Mm.
Because you turn around just to see the knife go back in.
Yeah.
So it says, we had the exorcist come back in a second time. He claimed our basement was full of spirits. Thinking maybe it had to do with all the possessions we'd just thrown out. We had the house cleansed again, and it's been peaceful for about a month now. Fingers crossed it stays that way. We later found out the renters were heavily involved with drugs and the occult. We don't know to this day if things have to do with the house itself, or could it be coming from my wife's work, which she works in an old folks home with a dark history. The residents are sent there to live out their final days, and the staff claims to see spirits in the night. It's a place out in the country as well. I wouldn't be so bothered by the spirits of the elderly passing and not being willing to move out. But the last two custodians who worked in the residence had hung themselves in the basement storage. That's not good. Hopefully, it's the last we've seen of any spirits since the exorcist passed. Our dogs. I don't know what that means. Since the exorcist passed,
I'm gonna. Did he die?
I don't know. So let's. Okay, I'm gonna do this. Hopefully, it's the last we've seen of any spirits. Our dogs have gone back to normal, and it feels more peaceful in the home. I don't think it's the last, since something seems to pop up every once in a while, but that's our ghost story so far. It's interesting.
Wow.
Now, okay, where she works, that sounds really creepy. But
it does.
I don't really think it's associated because of the way the former tenant was acting. Like, it makes me think there's something in the house, and maybe that person was into drugs and the occult. Maybe there was mental illness, because that definitely seemed like a mental breakdown he was having.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know, like, even the exorcist was like it was a demonic presence in the house. So I don't know. I think there's more to it than something coming home with her.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And maybe the leftover stuff in the basement is, you know, some sort of residual, you know, stuff that's there and causing things, but they did get rid of it.
Oh, here's a thought. And maybe the stuff in the basement wasn't even the former tenant stuff. Who's to say it was already there?
Yeah, it could have been there for a long time. You know, now they have gotten rid of it, but that it didn't seem to get rid of whatever was there.
But if you had haunted objects in your basement, going back to our previous conversation about how people get attached to things, could it have just pissed off some spirits?
Mm-hmm.
Like now
it was weird how the basement was seemed to be the problem. They moved the laundry upstairs and it just came up with that.
But then when they clean out the basement, it stirs it all up again.
Yeah.
But if the house itself is haunted, and you know, when you're doing renovations and stuff, we've had so many stories about that. So maybe all of this stuff was stirring up with renovations, with moving the laundry, with moving the stuff out of there. Every time they do something like that, it stirs it up. And then maybe it gets peaceful for a while. Then they do another renovation project or move some stuff. Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like they had a lot of renovation projects that had to have been ongoing for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go with haunted house. I don't think it was anything to do with, I kind of think it's all, I don't even know that it's the, it has anything to do with the former tenants. It could be a haunted house. And now with getting it blessed and doing things like that, maybe slowly and maybe quit working on projects.
Though they did have some trouble in the first place they lived.
Well, I think she's sensitive, the wife.
Definitely, she's sensitive.
Yeah. So she's one of those, maybe wherever she goes, there's going to be activity. That's a creepy place.
But I do feel like I'm with you on this one. I'm gonna go, you're living in a haunted house.
I think
there's
so too.
Spirits that are part of that house, I think. I don't think she's bringing stuff home with her either.
And maybe the blessing of it helps for a while. Maybe it doesn't get rid of it ever. It just helps for a while.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't want to go there. No. So if that person was like, hey, Carol and Kathy, you know, you're in the area. Why not? We got an extra room. I'll be like, no.
Man, I don't even know if I'd want to come over to your house and do laundry.
No, hell no.
I'm not sure, you know.
It's like, I've got a lot of dirty laundry. I happen to be in the neighborhood.
But that woman in white.
I can't do it at your house. Thanks for the offer.
Yeah.
Well, here is another story. Here you go.
Okay.
Hello. It's Matt from Oklahoma City again. I'm going to try this story again. This happened in the probably early to mid 80s. I was dating a girl at the time. And she was living with her dad in a townhouse. And according to dad's rules, we weren't supposed to be there together without him present. And, of course, being teenagers, that's what we were doing. So we were in her bedroom talking, which was also against the rules. And he was at work. And while we were in her room, we heard very heavy footfalls of somebody sprinting down the hallway from the front door end to the back of the townhouse. And, of course, we kind of froze, went quiet, looked at each other. And she kind of whispered to me that she thought, you know, perhaps her dad had come home for lunch or something. So she told me to go ahead and just stay in the room and she would go out and look. So she checks the rest of the townhouse and finds no one. And I should also mention that this is a one-story building, so it couldn't have been from somebody upstairs, not to mention the fact that we could clearly hear the heavy footfalls on the floor. So she comes back into the room. She looks kind of puzzled and tells me that nobody else is in the townhouse and that she even looked out the peephole of the front door thinking maybe she might see her father walking away as if maybe he had just stopped in to get something. But we never heard the door open or close, the front door. So we didn't know what to think of it, but we went back to our conversation. And a few minutes later, the exact same thing happened. It was a loud, heavy footfalls, and it was somebody sprinting. I should also mention that her father's age and physical condition at the time, that wouldn't have been possible from him to sprint down the hallway like that. So now we're really kind of getting a little unnerved and a little bit afraid. And at that point, I grabbed a baseball bat that she had in her room, and we both went and checked the rest of the townhouse. And for the second time, we didn't find anyone in the townhouse. So we never could figure out an explanation for that. And she even brought it up years later, recounting that incident and asking me if I remembered it. And of course, I remember it to this day. Have a good evening, and talk to you again later.
Matt has good stories. Like, I think Matt's one
good.
Of those people.
We've had
people.
Matt on before, right?
Yeah, and I think he's one of those people who things follow him, too, because he's had a lot of experiences. But that's interesting, because I'd like to know, for one, Matt, if she ever had any other experiences in that townhouse, or was it just that one isolated thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be good to know.
Because it kind of makes you think it's like the spirit of a grandfather or something is like, you are not supposed to be alone in the bedroom, and they're pissed.
Well, I was thinking in my head, like, while he's telling this story, is there some way the dad has set up some sort of, you know, like sound system to make it sound like this?
Exactly.
So that, you know, but I don't think so, actually. But, you know, I'm trying to think those, you know, try to think those things through in your head as you're listening to stories. What other possible explanation can there be?
Because it does seem like, you know, normally if you hear walking or fast walking, running through a house, it's kind of residual. It happens frequently. It happens at the same time frequently, like us in the middle of the night when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
So you would hear it about the same time.
Yeah.
And that could be some kind of residual thing. Did that happen frequently to her? But the way he tells that story, it makes me think it's isolated, because she still brings up about that time. It's not that one time that you were there. It happened all the time, but you were there that one day, Matt. I think he would have known.
Yeah. Because see, when we were kids, that would have been something that happened a lot.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I would have said to a – now, I might have said to a friend, do you remember that time that thing happened and we both got real scared? Even if it did happen to me many other times, mm-hmm. you know, I might.
But it seems like if it was happening in the moment, you would say to your friend, this happens all the time.
I know. And so it's – because you'd look at Matt and you'd go, it's not just me, right? Like, I hear this, like, you know, every other day.
And so it makes me think – it is a one-time thing, which makes me think like a spirit of a grandfather. Somebody was like, nah, you two are not in that bedroom together.
Yeah.
We're stopping that shit right now.
It does seem like it has something to do with them two doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. Like somebody was, you know, like somebody was making sure they weren't going to do something they weren't supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's what it makes me think.
Yeah.
Matt. That's what was going on. He's in the bedroom and pissed off something.
Yep, you got a paranormal guardian that's going to make sure you don't do the wrong thing.
So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us, 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also get advanced episodes, access to our archive. You get no commercials. You'd get all that if you become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories. or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.